this is preventable. We can secure our borders. That has to be done.
Not if they're already here.
Well, wait a second. There are three things that have to be done. That's the ports of entry have to be secured to prevent more from coming in. And then we have to ferret out the problem in every Islamic community center and every mosque throughout the country. We have to go in there and we have to that is where if the weapons are in the country and they are, that's where they are.
So you think they're hiding in some mosques?
Absolutely. Sleeper agents are in the mosque. You take a place even like the Farouk Mosque in Brooklyn, 554 Atlantic Avenue. Been there a zillion times. It looks like a pizza joint. You wouldn't step foot in it. You couldn't step foot in it, first of all, because if you tried to, they'd throw you out. And it says, you know, for members only. In the vestibule, there are signs that if you were approached by any law enforcement agency or customs official, you were to call the following lawyers from the ACLU. So you're not going to get in there. But in any case, this is one mosque among the 1,400 in this country. But it's indicative of the problem. They have raised over $24 million for the jihad. $24 million, a little pizza joint. They have recruited hundreds of operatives for training camps in Afghanistan and Pakistan to fight in the jihad. They have served as a shelter for al-Qaeda operatives. We know that, but the FBI agents can't get a search warrant to go into that place because 554 Atlantic Avenue is listed as a house of worship, and no federal judge will issue a search warrant to go into a house of worship. That's the problem that we have.
How many worthy people who practice the Islamic faith are going to get tainted, are going to get fingered because of all this?
George, the official religion of Saudi Arabia is Wahhabism. The most of the Muslims throughout the world, I mean, Islam is not a religion of peace. The moderates are not in the majority. Now, certainly most Muslims would not go out and fight with al-Qaeda. Most of them would not go to the training camps. But if you ask them how many of them support the jihad, you will be amazed. You'll be flabbergasted. The vast majority of Muslims throughout the world support the war against the United States and support bin Laden's attempts to destroy us.
Throughout the world, not here.
Throughout the world. Now, in the United States, like I said, you have the problem that that 80% of the mosques are radicalized. That means these people are going to services week after week after week, hearing messages supporting the jihad and calling us the great Satan. So, do these people believe what they're hearing in the mosque, George? I kind of believe that they do.
And there's nothing we can do about it.
Yes, there is. First of all, if Congress declared war, then we can start enforcing like the Smith Act and the Voorhees Act that were enacted, you know, during World War II, so that we can attack this problem the way that you know, J. Edgar Hoover and FDR did, you know, at that time. I'm talking about detention camps.
You can't put them in detention camps, Paul. How
George,
can you do it? You got to prove that they've done something.
But wait a second. If you can go, if these people right now, if we are in a state of war, if these people are harboring al-Qaeda operatives.
Well, you got to find that out first. You can't just go willy-nilly grabbing people.
Wait a second. Let me turn this around. Let me turn this around and let's look at it objectively. I cannot imagine my father, who fought in World War II, he was an Army engineer. I cannot imagine his generation allowing German Americans to raise millions and millions of dollars for the Third Reich. I can't imagine his generation.
Well, you know, Americans raised millions of dollars for the Third Reich in this country.
And guess what, George? They were all placed in detention camps.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were.
Henry Ford was one of them. Prescott Bush was one of them. They weren't put in detention camps.
No, but you're talking about before war was declared.
Yeah, but
I'm talking about why the war is being...
Well, but they supported Hitler.
But wait a second. So did Lindbergh. But I'm talking...
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying
but
people...
But I'm talking about this. War has been... George Bush said that we're in a state of war. War has been declared against us, whether we want to realize that or not. We are in a state of war. These people intend to destroy us. if they do, if operatives are within these mosques, they have to be ferreted out and they have to be placed in detention camps. Now, you ask me, what's the solution? What can we do? That's one of my solutions to the problem. If we're not willing to do that, then then it's hopeless.
Well, you know, Paul, I am, after spending 9 years in the Navy, I'm as aggressive as anybody. But I don't think you can go storming into these places, grabbing these people in this country without this kind of proof. You just can't do it anymore. We've unfortunately have gone too far in this country. The rights of Americans now, and a lot of these people are citizens that you're talking about, I don't think you can do that. The problem was an erosion from the beginning. You're right. The borders have collapsed. Who knows what's flowing through? You know, I had a story today. They're talking about a 2,000-mile border along the Mexican-United States border fence. They should have done that a long time ago with sensors and cameras and troops stationed, you know, every 400 feet.
Exactly. Well, we're faced with a different type of war than we've ever faced before. We're faced with an enemy that is not going to go away. They are intent upon our destruction, and they're conducting a type of warfare that we have never fought before. But going back to Ramadan, George, the Australian, I would just want to bring this up before I forget it. This is today's newspaper. Go to the Australian newspaper today. They have a conversation with Abu Bashir, the spiritual leader of an Al-Qaeda sister organization, who speaks about an impending nuclear attack from his prison cell against the U.S. That's in today's newspaper, in the Australian front page headlines.
Well, here's a guy in his cell, and he's still dictating policy to people.
Well, he's announcing what he already knows. You know, that this thing has been in the works since 1992. That if it doesn't occur during Ramadan, it will occur, according to all experts, including Dr. Graham Allison from Harvard's Belfer Center, according to even Bill Keller, the editor of the New York Times. He said the best reason for thinking a nuclear attack hasn't happened is that it hasn't happened yet, and that's terrible logic.
You remember during World War II, of course, I was born in 1950, so World War II was over, but they went ahead and they grabbed all these Japanese Americans and they put them in concentration camps. They put them in camps, right? Mm-hmm. Was that right?
Well, I'm going back to, I don't know what was right for that generation, but I know that it could have prevented a lot of problems in the homeland. So looking at the effects of that measure, I would say that the effects were effective. I mean, they worked. Now, they not only detained, you know, they detained about 25,000 Japanese, but they detained even more German Americans, and, you know, that's not even brought out.